start that again. It's Sunday night, March 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2025. 6 o'clock. This is David Justice. I've been asked to do the judicial call again. I have Mark's help. He's going to open us with prayer. Before we get into that, I'm just going to give you a little taste of what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to pick up where we left off last week and double down on the principles that this nation is founded on, particularly with regard to being one nation under God, not from a religious sense, but from a sense of fact and science and proof of claim. And we're gonna dig into that, and I hope you leave with something amazing. Mark, would you go ahead and open us? Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Hi, everyone. Our Father in heaven, please hear our prayer. Thank you for pouring out your blessings full of grace and immeasurable impact upon this nation. We are grateful for every life brought closer to you and every needful person's request of healing, enlightenment, and prayers for miracles answered. We are also thankful for the synchronous energy of multiplying from prayer groups of your people united together for the healing of this nation and the world. For this republic must stand the test of time in order for liberty and Christianity to flourish until the kingdom returns here on earth. And with your watchful love, Father, shall carry on to exponentially greater scope and number of enlightened people. So thank you for the prophets that bring your messages at just the right time, when we can receive and appreciate your message spoken through them, guiding and directing us. There's a massive amount of truth being revealed today, and we are thankful for being blessed to be a part of that, Father. Please continue to bless your republic in many ways as you have done at the beginning for our founding fathers. Unite us together for the purpose of winning this battle, the spiritual battle, by your will, Father, and your plan, victorious by the glory of the only one true God and Creator, His Son, Yeshua, and Holy Spirit. To God be the glory forever and ever. In Yeshua's name we pray. God save the children. God save the Republic. God save America, Canada, and the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel and the land of Jerusalem. In Yeshua's name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, Mark.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm gonna start with the national motto of this country. The one next to In God We Trust. It's E Pluribus Unum, which is Latin for the many is one. When we talk about one nation under God, we talk about the sovereignty of the people. You know, these are really heady ideas when you place them back into 1776. We had a state religion. The pilgrims and founders, Puritans and separatists, they were hunted down and killed if they dared challenge the status quo of the Church of England. So there was a marriage of church and state. Interestingly, though, the Church of England had itself broken off from Catholicism. And, you know, there's a lot of Protestant individuals, John Calvin, Martin Luther, others, through history who separated from what the status quo Overton window, the acceptable way of thinking about the gospel, the one that was projected onto it by the organized religion of the day. And if you thought contrary of that because you got a copy for yourself and decided to read it, and I guarantee you, if you get a copy for yourself and decide to read it, and everybody on this call that has taken the time to read it, there's a lot of things in there that are not popular topics. Even today, after 2,000 years, there's things in that scripture. There's things Jesus, Yeshua, talked about. There's ideas in there that, well, let's suffice it to say, let's go to this one, because this is the one that's important tonight. And the one that's important tonight is King of Kings. You know, Pontius Pilate, when he was handed over, the Messiah was handed over to him, declared him to be a king. You know, Rome, through Pontius Pilate, acknowledged that Christ is king, that Jesus was king. And then he said, well, my kingdom's not of this world. And this is what I like to say to that. I thank God it's not, because if it was, it would look like every other kingdom of this world. Every kingdom of this world is a aggregate of whatever source they decided to use to build their government, whether it be a constitution or whether it be a charter or whatever. And throughout history, back in the day, priests always crowned kings. It was always the religious authority that distinguished the political authority. And arguably the religion always rode the back of the state. I like to say the harlot rode the beast, the political state being the nature of cruelty and just all about control. It's a necessary evil. It's about discipline. It's about punishment. And, you know, the job of the government is to maintain security, and that, at least back in the day. And, you know, and the Enlightenment era came along, and people like John Locke, who talked about natural rights and consent to the governed. He also talked about the right of revolution in his second treatise on self-government. He's the one that championed the idea that when government becomes to the end established to secure, that the people have a duty to throw it off. And that idea made it into the principles of the Declaration of Independence. You know, the South didn't like what the North was doing during the time of pre-Civil War. And so the Southern states decided to withdraw their allegiance to the United States and test that theory in the Declaration of Independence. That was their protest. You know, Thomas Jefferson called it nullification. Nullification is a principle where basically civil disobedience, whereas if you don't like it, you know, you go ahead and set yourself up for doing something, you know, relatively illegal. You think it's not unlawful, but the law gets in the way. So you set yourself up, and now you can go in and fight it in court. Law of nullification. All right. I don't want to get too far away from where it is I'm trying to go. I'm going to go back to the beginning. We got a problem in this country today, and the problem is the unrealized principles leading to corruption and decline. And we live in a day of political dysfunction. We have a Christian institution on this planet that has more than 20,000 denominations around the planet, more than 200 in America. They can't agree on anything. Institutional Christianity is busy waiting for the second coming. And they, for the most part, have not ever really wanted to get involved in politics in this country. So they stay to themselves. But I started looking about 40 years ago when I started this walk, which ended up where I ended up here. I began to ask the question, you know, I read the Bible for myself and decided to study the Constitution and politics. I was wondering if there was a place where the gospel and politics did merge. I mean, after all, you know, Christ was a king. Jesus, you know, comes in to Jerusalem on a donkey, throws over the money changers' tables, really irritates the Sanhedrin. You know, they have him arrested, and he gets dragged before Pilate, and those two have a conversation. Basically, Yeshua is charged with being a sovereign tax cheat, someone that didn't believe that he had to pay taxes. And he was committing treason by calling himself a king. And those were the charges against him. And so when Pilate said, are you a king? And he didn't ask him about the tax statement, you know. He didn't talk about anything else except, are you a king? And he said, well, did you come up with this here? Are you on your own, or did somebody else tell you? Well, my kingdom's not of this world. Well, okay, so my argument is that idea somehow never made it into modern Christianity. There's a disconnect between the kingdom of heaven, which was the number one thing that that Jesus spoke about. Number one, it was his gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And he said the kingdom of heaven does not come with careful observation. Other versions will say, well, it doesn't come visibly because the kingdom of heaven is within you. Well, if you think about it, so is the kingdom of Florida. So is the kingdom of the United States. All these kingdoms are within us. You know, we talk about giving allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. What's a flag? You know, a flag is a standard. That's another word for flag. Well, what's a standard? Well, arguably, a standard is, you know, it's a basis against what you measure everything else by. You know, we have a standard inch. You know, we have standard weights and measures, just weights and measures. We know what a dollar is worth. Those are standards. Those are standards of reality that we agree to, and those form the foundation of our society, of our economics, and of our government. Well, so when we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, we're actually, there's a deeper something going on there. We're pledging allegiance to the standard that was established by America's founding fathers, penned by Thomas Jefferson and company, signed by 56 writers who held as self-evident truths that all men are created equal and they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that to secure these rights, governments are established among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. This idea was so new in the stage on the planet back in the day. It was a result of the Enlightenment ideals that were championed by writers, again, like John Locke and Montague and Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, George Mason. These guys, they grew up in this environment where they had the freedom, because they came over here to America, to try on these new Enlightenment ideas. And they incorporated a lot of those ideas into the principles of American jurisprudence, American law. And they express those through the Declaration of Independence and the Articles of Confederation. And they set into motion an ideology of government that the world had never seen before. Now I'm being redundant. Governments before then weren't set up to serve the people. The divine right of kings, the belief was that God sets up kings and the king can do basically anything he wants. And the white European Anglo-Saxon people got tired of that, and so they began to challenge those ideas. And a lot of people paid the price for challenging those ideas. And those ideas, I mean, back in the day, go to jail, you get burned at the stake, you could lose your head. It was considered treason to go contrary to the principles of the state. So America was a new experiment. And I argue that, and it's my intent to prove, that the principles of the kingdom of heaven at a fundamental level of principle as standard were woven into the principles of the Declaration of Independence, not as a religious ideology, but as an ideology of law and principle as to what constitutes a foundation upon which the people can operate, where they can act as one people, one what they call sovereign body politic. The people together, the individually, they're autonomous, but they come together as a sovereign body politic. And in this togetherness, in this collective, they decide they can write laws into existence. They can write, and they did. They wrote Constitution. They wrote the Declaration of Independence. They wrote the Northwest Ordinance. They wrote these were people. These were men that were taking on the idea that God, the principle that the divine right of kings was broken at that point. The idea, it was hypnosis is a very powerful tool. You know, the people were living under this form of hypnosis back in the day when they were going along to get along because they didn't want to be killed and they didn't want to upset the cart and they didn't want to be, you know, the one contrarian that challenged the status quo. But there was enough of them that did, just like there was enough of us that challenged that mask mandate a few years ago and that fatal jab that they wanted to give us all, this pharmaceutical company. So there's always a remnant of people who say, no, we're not going to do that. And so this nation was founded on that type of premise. And the key figures in that day distinguished that governments derive their just power by the consent of the governed. So the idea in the Declaration of Independence is that the people collectively are a sovereign body politic. They appoint, and this is what the nature of a republic is right here. They vote and elect someone to go represent them, a certain amount of people, a block, and they have a representative go represent them in a Senate or a House or a Congress, Continental Congress, for example. And in this context, these representatives then speak in behalf of the people. They're not there in behalf of the king. It's not a top-down thing. They're there in behalf of the people. And the people, now watch this. The people who are sovereign have to remember where their sovereignty comes from. The Enlightenment thinker said it's natural sovereignty. And even today we hear people talking about natural rights. But the Declaration of Independence distinguishes that it's the creator of the universe that endows us with these certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So the idea that God, in this context, is a religious figure is nonsense. God is not a religious figure. God either is or God is not. And the founding fathers, at least they agreed on this. God is. The creator is. And they all had a different way of referring to him. The law of nature and nature's God. The Colorado Constitution in its preamble says, "We the people of Colorado, with profound reverence to the supreme ruler of the universe." Well, let that sink in. If you go out and look at your constitutions of the states, you'll find that there's a reference every time to the father who is our father inside the context of reality, and we live and move and have our being in the father. And this father lives and moves and has his being in us. And to the degree that we are one with the Father, and the Father is in us, and this was Messiah's last prayer in the upper room, he said, "May they be one as we are one, I and you, and they and me, and maybe we be one." This idea is what got passed down and survived and made it into our Declaration of Independence. The people are one. And when we're operating inside of a covenant with our Father, then we're operating with the sovereign power of our Father. We are an extension of our Father on earth as it is in heaven. There it is. When you pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done." And Messiah told us not to look for him to bring it to us. He told his apostles to go out and get it. They turned the world upside down, preaching this idea that the Messiah had risen again and he was the king of the kingdom. And, you know, he troubled town fathers, and they had warrants out for their arrest, and they were all killed because they were bringing this idea that this guy, Jesus, who you guys killed, rose again. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is the king. And you tell us, is it better to obey God or man? And that was the question that the Sanhedrin didn't like. That's the question that secular people today don't like, because a lot of people don't like the idea that this nation is founded on a covenant with God. You know, we're living in a day where, you know, everybody's got their own truth. No, everybody's got a perspective. There's one truth. There's one God. There's one people. And if we're not one people, then we're divided. And the gospel of Messiah said, a nation divided against itself will not stand. And this country has been divided for so long. It's been divided in its politics. It's been divided in its religion. It's been divided by class. So I really want to know, when we pray or when we pledge our allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, do we ever really stop and actually actualize what we're saying? Because we're making a pledge. It's not just a group of words that sound cool together. We're pledging our allegiance to a standard. The standard is the foundation for the United States of America, which is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That is the pledge. That is the foundation of American law. That's the foundation of our society. We're living inside a sovereign body politic where the people have power to write constitutions and, by consent, give power to government to rule for the one purpose that the Declaration of Independence distinguishes, to secure the unalienable rights endowed upon us by the Creator. You know, this is an absolutely mind, if your mind's not blown by thinking on these things and meditating on these things, that America's founding fathers actually had it in mind that they were setting up the kingdom of heaven on earth. As a matter of fact, you can read some books from that era, you know, that when they were fighting in Revolutionary War, there was a saying out there, no king but Jesus. So these guys were looking at the gospel from a political perspective, not a religious perspective. And the idea that we, the people, are also the body of Christ inside the idea of the kingdom of heaven, this is where the idea of the E Pluribus Unum is sourced. And I challenge anyone to find me another place, because a nation divided against itself, like a democracy where we vote and everybody gets to say, well, oh, that's great, you know, but if we're all on different pages and we can't come together as one, then we're a divided nation and we're destined to fall. So we're walking a fine line when we start thinking that, you know, we can approach the Constitution and Declaration of Independence and the Northwest Ordinance and the positions of that are held inside the American Republic, inside the United States Republic, without acknowledging a Father in heaven, our Father, the Creator. You know, even the oaths, you know, we say, so help me God. You know, those aren't just random words. They're not something that just roll off your tongue. But yet the bureaucracy, the deep state that's been running this country for decades, if not 150 years, you know, I go all the way back to 1871. You know, there's a lot of controlled opposition. And I think that the controlled opposition, the deep state, has infiltrated into the churches. Like Paul Harvey said, if I was the devil, that's the first place I'd go. They have reconstructed a narrative that they have projected over the gospel. They have projected over the Bible, and we're so hypnotized that that's all we can see. But there was a point in time at the beginning, and here's the evidence. Again, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, the principles, the standards of American jurisprudence, there's the presumption, there's a premise inherent in it that the government is a servant. It's a very dangerous one, too. George Washington said, you know, government's a dangerous servant or a fearful master. Either way, it's been called a necessary evil. Well, there's also a quip you've probably heard, if men were angels, then you wouldn't need government. Well, you know what? When we were called into the body of Christ, we were called in to be more than angels. Here's what's not being taught in the church. Here's what's not being taught in institutionalized Christianity. Institutionalized Christianity emasculates men, subjugates them under a heavy burden that they themselves can't carry. You know, like the scripture, Jesus said, you know, woe to you Pharisees, you travel over land and sea to make a convert, and once you convert him, you make him twice the son of hell as you. Bukes fit side the collective of modern Christianity. And I'm not singling out any one church. I'm saying that there's an institutional mindset. It's like technique is more important than substance. Form is more important than substance. A narrative is more important than substance. You know, show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by what you do. One is form, one is substance. And, you know, and inside the world of Christendom, there is a conflict between, there's a between what Paul taught and what the Messiah. And it's been dogging us for 2,000 years. We've got to reconcile that. And I think that what we've got to do to reconcile that is understand that Messiah was speaking in a capacity of king when he walked the planet, and he was showing us what the kingdom of heaven looks like using parables. He was showing us what's possible. Stereotypical second Adam. It was a reset of what Adam lost in the garden. And metaphorically, scripture talks about this in the book of Revelation. He gets to eat off the tree in the garden. And he says anybody else that's following him and walks the path, the narrow gate, the small road, also gets to go and eat from the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Well, what that would suggest is we found a way to conquer the effects of Adam's fall. Knowledge of good and evil. What is that? I propose to you to consider that what that good and evil is, it's the infinite number of narratives that we project onto the truth. Pick one. It doesn't care which one you pick. It only cares that you pick one. And when you dig in on a narrative, you think you got the right, you know, I got the right answer. Then, you know, what's that scripture that says knowledge puffs up, builds up? So we got a lot of narratives on this planet. And oh my gosh, creed, race, we live inside of a confused chaos right now. America is a bad, because it's the confusion of languages, confusion of tongues, and we're lost. We're a lost nation. We need revival. Idea, Tim Turner's idea, and this is being promoted by all of you, is a revivalist idea. Restore. Even know what we're restoring. Do we understand the principles? Do we understand that we are servants, and that our job is to serve, not Lord? And the American people are blind, following blind God. But if the blind follow the blind, they all fall into the pit. As members of the Republic, we're not much. We're an interim people. We're here. We're placeholders. But as placeholders, you know, we hold a position, and we feel a little bit of power. I mean, there's a little bit of power inside that position. Well, there is. But the power is not the power of lordship. Not inside the principles of the kingdom of heaven. That power is the power of service, public servants. That's what's missing. These people get elected to go into some political office. They think they're getting elected into an aristocracy. No. Or they go in there, you know, they go in there with the best of intentions, and immediately they're met by the men in black who tell them the way it's going to be. They tell them, you know, we've got on this planet. And you're going, now that you've been elected, you can be part of the club. And so the next thing they face is blackmail, or, you know, some sort of manipulation or some sort of threat. And that's what Donald Trump has just demonstrated and vindicated many of us who have known these things and basically have been by ourselves because our family was rejecting us. Our friends wouldn't hear it. You guys are just a bunch of conspiracy theorists. You guys are, no, and we would get gaslighted. Oh my God, we got gaslighted by the church. We got gaslighted by the state. We got gaslighted by the media. We've been gaslighted. So I don't know how you people are even still in this thing. But know this, you're not alone. We've all gone through the same thing. You've got a vision. You were given a vision. And the vision is to restore the republic. The idea is that if America falls, the whole world falls. America is the beacon because it is at its foundation a covenant with the Creator. And it is all, it's not perfect because we're not perfect, but we're supposed to be working toward perfection. We're supposed to be working on self-discipline, self-government, self-govern, you know, the idea that we're supposed to be a reflection of the Messiah, that God's Spirit is supposed to shine through us. And in that capacity, we are the sovereign body politic. And that's, again, and I keep going back there, that's what America is founded on. We need a revival in our minds. All revivals, all revolutions begin in the mind as an idea. Somebody's got an idea. Tim Turner had a prayer, came up with this idea of restoring the republic. You know what? I was involved back in the 90s and the aughts in several other attempts to call people's attention to the dark conspiracy to overthrow the American government. And because I was an early arriver, and I studied these things, and I studied law. And here's how I came to my conclusions. I studied the law. Once I studied the law, I was able to see, you know, this government's not operating under the principles of the Constitution. This government is basically doing whatever the heck it wants to. This government has set up an administrative bureaucracy that's a lot like communism or socialism, and we're already living in a form of totalitarian dictatorship by this fourth branch of government that is non-constitutional. It's the administrative branch. It's your bureaucracy. Colorado began in 1968. The Franklin Delano Roosevelt set the New Deal into motion. That was the administrative government he introduced. You know, it came in with the Federal Reserve System, the private monetary system. You know, Andrew Jackson had kicked that out of America, the Second National Bank, back in 1830s. But it snuck its way back in because of what happened after the Civil War in 1861. And the people that were in charge, who in hindsight were working for someone else besides the people, they let the money changers back in, Federal Reserve System, December 13th, the 16th Amendment, and the Federal Reserve System. Was it December 13th or was it December 24th? Suffice it to say, it was Christmas time. They didn't even have a full house, but it got passed in the law and you couldn't challenge it. So here we are. All right. So here we got a guy named Trump. Okay. This guy comes along and, you know, how can I not be skeptical? How can I not be How can I not be jaded? My whole life, all I was used to is liars in positions of power. And we didn't call it lying because that wasn't even politically correct. And then we got this bull in a China cabinet, and a China shop comes in here named Donald Trump, who blows everybody's mind because he, you know what he comes in with and what's inspiring? He comes in with confidence. He knows, and so does Elon Musk, it's done. If, you know, there was a recent interview, Elon Musk was interviewed by Joe Rogan. He said, you know, why is everybody attacking me? Because I'm telling the truth. He said, I got behind Trump because I came to realize that it's over. If we don't get behind Trump and support what he's doing, if we don't follow his lead, it's over. And it would have been over. I mean, I was, you know, back in the day when Hillary was running against Trump, We dodged one right there, folks. We dodged a big one. So time was bought. Rebellion is the antithesis of liberty. You know, watch this. Okay, so we talk about liberty and we talk about freedom and I want to be free. But there are limits to the freedom. My freedom, my liberty ends where yours begins. You know, whether we like it or not, the problem with the planet is there's people on it. And this idea of dualism where, I got my truth and you got your truth. And you know, that's not working toward unity. Throughout the scripture, Paul talked about unity. But corruption creates a dualism. So if we're not operating as one nation under God, corruption creeps in and it divides the house. The kingdom potential that was unleashed in America in the beginning, I think, I don't know how long it lasted, but I don't think it lasted very long at all. So we have this unrealized potential in law in this country that's just sitting there waiting for someone to pick up the baton and run with it. I believe if we don't do that, if we don't take this junction in history and champion the principles of the gospel, the kingdom of heaven, and operate from the place that our Messiah is king, not from a religious sense, but from a reality sense. You know, too often we get caught up in the fairy tale called Christianity, and Christianity has become a fairy tale. And if you don't like it, there's other fairy tales out there, and you go find a church that will tell you the fairy tale you want to hear. But, you know, this man, Jesus, laid down his life. He said, no greater love does a man have than he laid down his life for his friends. Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have any place with me. So here, when the devil tempted Jesus in the desert, he was out there for 40 days, and, devil comes up and says, all the kingdoms on this planet belong to me, and I can give it to whosoever I choose, and I will give it to you if you will bow down and worship me. Here's my interpretation of that. Not saying it's true. All the things that I say are subject to reconsideration, reevaluation. I'm willing to be wrong, and I think that's the way we need to approach this, because we can be deceived, and we are deceived. We're under a powerful delusion. But going back to that point, going back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the reason that all of the kingdoms on the planet belong to the adversary is because they're all operating inside of a narrative that was set into motion when the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was disregarded and its fruit eaten. And so what happened? What was the first thing Eve did? Okay, so why did she eat off that tree? She said, well, I'm not good enough. There's more. And she was seduced into believing that she wasn't enough. My gosh, people, come on. Adam and Eve were immortals. They were immortals. They walked with God in the garden. They were immortal beings, and they fell from grace. They fell from that. And so the minute they ate off that tree, Eve's mind kicked in and she started pondering. And so she goes over and hands the fruit to Adam and says, you got to try this. And now here goes Adam's wheels. Here goes his mind. And he starts inventing all these narratives. Oh, we better go find leaves because, this is not good. Now suddenly I can see. So the promise that they would have the knowledge of good and evil, it was a curse to them because they couldn't distinguish the difference between narrative and the truth. And we still have that problem. We have so many people living inside the hypnosis of narrative. If you want a narrative, go listen to Fox News, CBS, whatever. Find a church. You're going to find someone that'll agree with your narrative. Our narratives are not true. There's only one non-narrative, one. And walking in that one narrative is what will reconnect us to the tree of life in the garden. It's the e pluribus unum that we must needs walk in as one people under one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one idea under God, where we're indivisible. That's okay. It doesn't matter if I don't agree with you, and it doesn't matter if you don't agree with me. That's where the spice comes in. You know, that's where iron sharpens. We're coming out of a delusion. We may enter into a delusion that's so great that even the very elect could be deceived. I liked it. We're just now coming out of that delusion that so many people have caught up in. You know, and what Trump has set into motion, he set into motion, it's like a pendulum. You know, that pendulum had gone so far to the left. I mean, it was farther. They were holding that thing up. They didn't want it to swing back around, because when that thing swings back, it's going to kick a lot of people in the butt. But the things that were being introduced into this country in the name of, you know, everybody's got their own truth, and, you know, and we don't want to offend anybody, and, you know, all this absolute nonsense. They were silencing us. They were censoring us. They were, because they knew that if the truth came out, their time was up. I mean, these, oh, and here's what's going on. Their world is over. It's done. Cash Patel up there, you know, and Dan Bongino and Pam Bondi. And, you know, we're looking at the Jeffrey Epstein files. We're looking at John Kennedy. All these things that have been be revealed. The truth is becoming true. And that's a good thing. Truth is becoming trendy. And it's a good thing, because even if Trump turns out to be an evil guy, you know, he created an army of digital warriors who are going to hold him to an account. You know, that guy that came in, Stargate, one of the guys wanted to talk about the jab that they were going to diagnose your blood and your disease so you could get a, you know, pharmaceutical of the mRNA jab. Yeah, what? Tell you what, the next day, the internet was ablaze with people critical that entire conversation and Donald Trump. So finally, we're starting to operate as one government, not a bunch of individuals fighting for their individual rights, but one group pushing back against the government so that we can be free. So this is how we work together. We, the people of the interim republic, if we can find it within, understand that pretty much everybody in your life is operating inside of a perspective. You can't see what you see. You see what you want to see, and you've studied, and you know, you ended up here on this phone call because you had desire inside, a desire that motivating you to go find some truth, because whatever life that you were living wasn't working. At least, you know, in the political realm. And so somebody told you that, and all of a sudden you've got this appetite to actually want to get involved in the Republic and a movement to restore the Republic in America. Folks, this is a revival. This is a revival of the government, okay? And I'm going to start whining. We need to get to the place where we realize that divided we fall, united we stand, divided we fall. And the dualistic idea out there that there's two truths, you know, that's nonsense. There's only one truth. Everything else is a narrative. One more time, I'm gonna make sure everybody gets this. We're living in a world that has been hypnotized, and there's hypnosis going on, and there's this aggregate of thought, and it's inside what they call the Overton window. And as long as you're operating in there, you're relatively safe. No one will scoff at you. No one will gaslight you. You know, you'll have friends. Everybody will like you. But the minute you start questioning the status quo, the minute questioning the narrative, questioning the hypnosis, there's another function going on inside your brain that immediately you gaslight. You go self-doubt. Oh, man, I That's, oh, who am I to think that? You know, that's what we need to get over. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We have the mind of Christ. And given everything we need to get this job, the eye can't say to the hand, because you're not an eye, I don't need you. We all need each other. We need to all give each other space. We all need to call each other out. We all need to hold each other in account. And we all need to be willing to be reprimanded. We all need to be willing to be taught. We can't walk around thinking, I got all the answers. You need to listen to me. That doesn't work. And that kind of arrogance will guide us. This idea of factions is not healthy for a nation that is willing to grow. We've got to look at this. What is causing these factions? And what, you know, is there an enemy among us? You know, here's one thing I know for sure, I guarantee you. Controlled opposition. They want America to fall. And they, so they're, and a lot of these people were in the FBI, and a lot of them were in the CIA, and the intelligentsia, in the intelligence world. Brennan, you want any people that are going to get charged? Comey's daughter there in the Southern District of New York. You know, corruption is corruption. And truth has to be strong enough to shine the light in the darkness. Comprehend the light. The darkness can't comprehend Donald Trump. Jamie Raskin, is that his name? Can't comprehend. None of the Adam Schiff. You know, he opens his mouth and he exposes, because the guy projects all of the evil that he is onto Cash Patel, or he projects all of the evil that he is onto Elon Musk, because these guys have no creativity. We're dealing with psychopathic pants. They're of the father, the devil. They're steeped inside the narrative that they are dead already. And all they have left is political maneuvering and calling in political capital, or, you know, but you watch what's about to happen is people are going to start throwing each other under the bus. There's going to be, we got suicides in our near future. We got people going to be charged with treason. We've got a lot of corruption going to be exposed. Okay, so how do we fit into that? Where do we come in? Stand at the ready. You know, I don't know how this is going to work. I really don't. I started on this road earlier, but I didn't finish it. I looked at several other ways of challenging the corrupt system. I was, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, so I'll mention this week. I was involved in the Patriot community at the time of Waco. Involved in the Patriot community when Ruby Ridge and Randy Weaver's wife eyeball. Yeah, that's how long I've been around doing this stuff. And you know what I've seen over and over and over is people get a little nervous, they get all puffed up. They think they know something. And then it becomes this one-upmanship game. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Well, I went down to, after Randy Weaver up there in Ruby Ridge, there was a group of us. There was well over 100. We met in Woodland next. Estes Park. We met in Estes Park. We had our own little convention where the question on the table is, what do we do the next time the government picks on a family? And we all agreed, you know, we all pledged our lives, our fortune, honor, and we took an oath together and we say, well, we're going to go and interpose ourselves between the government and the family. And even 3 months later, when David Koresh ends up there at Mount Carmel. And so, I grabbed a friend and we went down there thinking that I was going to run into like 1,000 guys. Decided to go unarmed. We decided we didn't want to escalate it into violence, so we decided to go unarmed. That might have been why only a handful of us showed up. discouraging moment, because I really thought hundreds of men and women were going to show up, but there was only a few. And so, you know, I'll spare you the details of the story, but suffice it to say, we were not successful in interposing David Koresh's and all of the women and children, men and women and children of that church. But the reason I bring that up is because I've been looking over and over at different ideas. What can we do? How do we stop this train from running over us? Do we form grand jury? Do we do a jural society? Do we do the UCC, you know, and except for value, everything they give to us, because it's all, you know, what do you do? What's the right theory? You know, and everybody had an idea back there. And so, you know, I was the guy that went to all the meetings and learned all the ideas, because I didn't know what was true. You know, I've done my jail time. I've got the scars of, you know, emotional scars of family, thinking I'm, you know, I don't want to be a victim. I'm not a victim. It's just the way it is. You know, you pursue Jesus. That if anyone, not only the things that I do, you shall do also. He also said, if they hate me, they'll hate you. And if they kill me, they'll kill you. So, you know, this idea of the kingdom, and this is what we really need to look at from a place of reality. It's about telling the truth. Think of it like this. One nation under God is the same thing as saying as one nation under truth. Same thing, because God is truth. One nation under God, same thing as saying one nation under spirit, because God is spirit. Those who God worship in spirit and truth. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. So God is love. Love, light, spirit. Truth. If God as the fundamental principle, E-A-L, who is the perfect good of, he said, you know, Jesus said, they said good, he said there's only one good, and that's your Father above, only one that's good. So God is good, over and over again. These are the standards that we pledge allegiance to: backbiting, backstabbing, and psychopathic pursuit for power and position and money. You know, the world seeks after those things. We're told to take no thought for our life, what we'll eat, drink, and wear, for such things the pagans run after. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So America is founded on the kingdom of God. The principles are the standards that we pledge allegiance to. It happens to be, we're looking at a flag because the flag embodies the standard. The flag is called the standard. We pledge allegiance to one nation under God, indivisible. And there's one nation under God, and that is the kingdom of heaven. One nation under God is the kingdom of heaven. So the founding fathers had a vision, and we have not realized that vision yet. And we have an opportunity in the year 2025 to stand with Trump and push back by standing in our integrity, by getting out of our narrative, getting out of our mind, if you will, getting out of the vain imaginations that we set up that trap us in, and just look for the truth. And the scripture is very clear. It says, in those days, God sends a powerful delusion so that those who don't love the truth will believe a lie. So what's going on this planet? You know, a lot of people, here's where the revival happens. We love the truth more than life itself. That's what, there's 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence died. They love freedom more than life itself. They love the principles that they had penned on that parchment called the Declaration of Independence. They were willing to die for it. You know, unless we come into that of willingness to stand and be wrong. Be willing to look bad. You're going to look bad and be wrong sometimes. We can't have all the answers. We're not know-it-alls. But we've got the spirit within us, discernment, that leads us into the truth when we need it. And if ever America needed the truth right now, America needed it. And for the principles of American law and jurisprudence, and make every effort to understand those laws and what the Constitution is and how. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If you don't know your rights, you don't have any. If you don't know the limitations on the power of government, it doesn't have any. Collectively, the aggregate of the American people, the aggregate of thought, is a very powerful thing. The aggregate of thought. And it, you know, modern science, you know, Bruce, and there's others who understand the power of thought and the power of desire and the power of will. You know, you science into what we're dealing with today and then understand the psychology of the crowd and the psychology. Everything really starts to make sense, what we're dealing with. People need leaders to lead them. We need leaders to lead us. So you've stepped to be a leader, and I applaud every one of you for it. Thank you, and it's great to work with you. It's a thrill for me to share the quiet for quite a while. Just keeping my eye on the movies going on in Washington. I believe there's three playing simultaneously, and I'm seeing a lot of panic going on over there. But anyway, getting back in, I'll close. We are one people if we are one with the Spirit of God. One. There's not two. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these, all of the law and commandments rest. And so that's my vision. I just shared, that's my vision, it's my perspective. I'm not even saying it's true. I'm willing to change my mind. I'm willing to be challenged, because you know what I want more than anything is I want the truth. The truth is what I'm hungry for. I hunger and thirst for it. And until we get to that place where we just won't settle for anything but truth, until we're willing to take off our attitude about needing to be right about everything, or hate the idea that we might be wrong, that we get caught up in this one-upmanship or this egotistical pounding of the chest. We all do it to a degree or not, until we stop doing it. And it's just the nature that we're fighting against. So thank you for listening. I guess, you know what I didn't do in the beginning, and I guess I'll mention it now, this, if anybody is here and they wanted to take an oath, I mean, to an oath of office, I guess we can open the floor for that. And then after that, we could have a little question and answer thing going on. Mark, did you want to take it from here?
Yes, sir. All right. Anybody who has their appointment letter from basically from President Geiger and hasn't been sworn in, we could do that right now. If you want to unmute yourself, if you don't have an unmute button on your phone, you can press *6 and that should unmute you, and then *6 should mute you again. So anybody wants to be sworn in and has their appointment letter, now's the time.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, I'm going to read the oath. I just want to, as a reminder, and then I'll shut up. The oath goes like this. I state your name, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God. That's not a religious test. That's an oath of office. What you got, Mark?
I guess, do you want to open for questions now?
If you're up for it.
Yep, sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you can unmute yourself by unmuting your phone or pressing *6. The floor is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Hi, my name is Patricia Lohman. I'm ambassador for Yolo County in California, and I was hitting the number sign pound six instead of star six, and so it took me to some crazy music, and so you were asking if we wanted to take the oath of office, and I missed it.
I did, and I can do it again. Thank you. I'm happy to do it for you.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I'm a dork hitting the wrong.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Patricia.
Patricia Lohman is my last name.
Patricia Lohman. Uh-huh. Repeat after me. I Patricia Lohman.
Patricia
Lohman. You got to raise your right hand and stand up.
It's raised. Okay.
I Patricia Lohman do solemnly, and you can choose to swear or affirm.
Okay.
Or both.
Patricia Lohman do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of,
Evasion.
Evasion.
Yeah.
Okay, evasion.
Evasion, and that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties of the office.
Discharge the duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter, so help me God.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. No, I ran ahead too fast. I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office on.
I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office.
On which I'm about to enter.
Of which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What state did you say you're from, Patricia?
I'm from Yolo County in California.
Okay.
We're right by Sacramento.
Skydiving.
And we just held our first reading today.
Great.
To settle our county.
I don't know what that means. Tell me what you just said.
Settling our county with the covenant. And so we had our first reading. We read three times. Oh, because in the state of California, we already had our constitution. We came in as a state. And so we're not doing the assembly. We're doing the jural society. Does that make sense?
I understand.
Okay.
So what position were you in Yolo County?
I am in Yolo County. Yes, I am.
Yep. What position do you hold at office?
I am ambassador.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And did you need to spell my last name? Do you need me to spell my last name?
You can if you like, sure.
It's Lohman.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let your governor know that you took the oath here.
Okay, great. Thank you. He'll be very pleased.
I yield for anyone who needs to talk or question or.
Hello, Justice. Justice, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
This is Derek Arnold, New Hampshire Justice. And I want to congratulate Patricia for stepping up and taking the honor. And also, I want to just send out healing thoughts and prayers to Justice Waters. And I wanted to thank you for stepping up and stepping in for the to not replace Justice Waters, but to fill in and continue on with these calls on Sunday nights, because they were missed when they weren't being had. And Mark, I want to thank you too for all your prayers and everything you're doing behind the scenes and on these calls. And Justice, you're bringing a great word and encouragement. And you know, I just hope everybody can unite, because we're all moving and trying to get to the same goal. And you know, like you said on in your message, you know, we are an interim and seat holders, and none of us have all the answers. So we're all students here. And all the slandering and the bashing, this and that, and everything on these wire platforms, I just hope it stops. And if someone does have an issue, just go to the source and go to the almighty source, not air it out so it causes confusion and division throughout this whole mission. And I just want to let you know I appreciate everything you're doing, and I appreciate everybody that's stepping up. And we have our children and grandbabies too, if we have grandbabies, which I have my 11th on the way. And you know, I'll die today standing up fighting for their future. And thank you so much, and I'll yield with that.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else like to ask a question or make a comment? The floor is open. Just unmute yourself or hit *6.
Word of encouragement, word of, you know, prayer, anything that, you know, you feel led to share, all those things would be welcome.
If you're having trouble unmuting the phone, I can open the call up.
This is Derek again. Can I say one more thing since it's kind of quiet? I just want to encourage everybody to possibly open up the great book to Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs. There's 31 days in March. And read Proverbs this month and kind of get the truth out, pull the truth out of that and align yourself into the truth. I am reading one proverb per day and trying to help myself be guided into the truth and out of perception. And so I encourage everybody to take each day this month to read a proverb and try to get in alignment with what this mission is and what it's and who, you know, I know we take an oath of office as servants, but we're serving our Creator, and we're not perfect, and he didn't design us or create us to be perfect, but he designed each and every one of us perfectly. And now is the time to put differences aside, to put egos aside, and stand by each other's side. You know, ego, edging God out. You know, we really, really need to put ourselves aside here. And as an interim position, you know, we're here just as seat holders and seat warmers until we can reach a fair and free election, a constitutional election, and it does no good to fight amongst each other. It really doesn't. So I hope that encourages people to put their differences aside. And like you said, Justice, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. And I'll use this for an example. We have a justice call in New Hampshire every week. And I've always known the New Hampshire Constitution was the closest to the national Constitution. However, I didn't know that when they were putting the national Constitution together, that they were using New Hampshire Constitution as a template. And I didn't know that, but I was corrected, and I was wrong. So on what my perception was. So that was very humbling, and that was honoring that I actually was educated because I was willing to be a student and put my ego aside and to learn that one step ahead of how the national Constitution came about. So I just wanted to add that. Proverbs was the big thing I wanted to add, and I will yield to give time for other people to have their voice, and thank you again. I yield.
Hi, my name's Vince Clary. I'm in New Jersey. I haven't been vetted yet, but I'm closing in line to be a justice. Want to thank the Justice for the talk. It's been excellent. I got to say, I'm really enthused every time I listen to you. My question is, I bought a book, Common Law Handbook for Juries, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices, and it says in here about depriving the people of their sovereignty. It is first necessary to get people to admit to the authority of the entity they have created, and this is done by claiming they are citizens of that entity. So I kind of understand that, but what do we claim ourselves to be? Private citizens, sovereign citizens?
I can speak for me. My first citizenship is in heaven. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And in that, I'm also an ambassador of heaven. And when I'm operating within the body politic, the sovereign body politic here on earth, I'm a citizen of the state, state citizenship, where I was born. And as a result of the state citizen, I'm a citizen of the United States of America by virtue of having been born in the venue of a sovereign state. So I'm the old fashioned guy, I'm going prior to the 14th Amendment, consider myself to be a preamble citizen, the posterity. The founding fathers wrote the opening paragraph to the Declaration of Independence for themselves and their posterity. So I'm that. And so that gives me standing inside the United States of America, and what I'm distinguishing when I say that is I'm distinguishing the collective, the confederation of states united as one inside this idea that we collectively are an entity called the United States of America, and it has a government called the United States. And I'm not a citizen of that government. I'm a citizen of the people, of the body politic, the people, first of the state, and then of the collective sovereign body politic of the states, United States. So that's how I say that. And when I registered to vote years ago, I attached an affidavit to a voter registration and signed the affidavit and wrote on the voter registration, void without attached affidavit. So that clerk and recorder said, "You really want to sign this?" I said, "That's, you know, I'm claiming my status. I'm distinguishing my status." And yes, those two things have to go together. So I filled out the voter registration and signed my name on an affidavit and attached it. So I don't know. There was a start for the conversation. Is what you were asking somewhere in what I've just said?
Yes. Citizen of New Jersey. So, and then, you know, part of the United States. So I did get that. And, oh, by the way, sir, I've been honored to take the oath of office or oath of service twice in my military career. I didn't quite finish past the full tour, you know, my 20 years, but I did enough, and I was so excited to take both oaths.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your service. You're valued and appreciated.
Well, thank you for your lectures, sir. I really do appreciate them.
Thank you.
I yield.
Hello, am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Wouldn't it be the Republic in there somewhere? The Republic for the United States or the Republic of the United States? I yield.
That's a really good question. I like that question.
And how do I unmute?
You're there. You're unmuted. You know what? When we come back together next week, we'll have a little conversation about that. I'm gonna check with President Geiger and throw that around to a few people, and we'll have a little conversation about that next week. Thanks for asking that. Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Hi there. This is Frank. I am from the Free State of New Jersey. Sorry to come in on the phone call so late. I was a couple minutes in from 8 o'clock. But I'm honored to be a part of this. And I'm actually studying to become a county justice. And if I just want to say a couple things about what the Republic is, everyone knows that originally it was a confederation. Yesterday was the first day in history that we had formed our Confederate states prior to the Civil War, you know, kicking off. The first national flag was created, and then we had engaged with the northern states. I'm going to read something here, and obviously it's from the Articles of Confederation. And I'm proud that we were a confederation or a confederacy. We were seceding from tyrants, you know, and it's the same tyrants that we're facing today. I'm just going to read the first couple of articles because this really reminds me of what what we all need to start doing together as a nation. The style of this confederacy shall be called the United States of America. Each state retains its sovereignty, freedom, and independence, and every power, jurisdiction, and right, which is not by this confederation expressly delegated to the United States and Congress assembled. The said states hereby severally enter into a firm league of friendship with each other for their common defense, the security of their liberties, and their mutual and general welfare, binding themselves to assist each other against all force offered to or attacks made upon them, or any of them on account of religion, sovereignty, trade, or any other pretense, whatever. The better to secure and perpetuate mutual friendship and intercourse among the people of the different states in this union, the free inhabitants of each of these states, paupers, vagabonds, and fugitives from justice excepted, shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of free citizens in the several states. And the people of each state shall have free ingress and regress to and from any other state, and so enjoy therein all the privileges of trade and commerce. Have we enjoyed any of those privileges today? I often wonder what our forefathers will be doing right now to ensure that all states can work together to help restore this republic. You know, Sam Adams had also wrote something down. It was called the Rights of the Colonists back in November of 1772. And he had even said that first we have a right to life, second to liberty, thirdly to property, together with the right support of said government to defend them in the best manner that they can, and that each of the citizens or colonists of the time in each colony had the right to protect said colony against all intolerable oppression, civil or religious, and that we have the right to leave that society and enter into another. So, and the thing is, when we enter into a society, it is by voluntary consent. Now, did we have any type of voluntary consent when we entered into the Corporation of the United States? Absolutely not. And I know we weren't really around during that time, but even right now, did anyone consent to having this de facto government do what it's doing to us? Absolutely not. You know, I've been talking to a lot of people around here in New Jersey, and I've been really brushing up on constitutional law and the common law handbooks. I have about five of them now. And they always point back to our right to be sovereign citizens under God. Our right to say no to all these oppressionable taxes and all these different regulations that they have placed upon us. When will I ask, can we truly be free from all of it? We've had a lot of promises made, and some promises were kept, but from what I can tell in a lot of these northern states is that people want to be governed by this de facto government, but deep down inside they don't. They just don't know how to do it, and I've been trying to educate, trying to inspire. I mean, even yesterday when I went to Morristown in front of George Washington's headquarters, the second headquarters where he fled from the British, and I grew up right around the way, believe it or not. And I was honored to be there. It's just the whole entire town has changed into a liberal safe haven. And all we were trying to do was say, because since Washington was from the South in Virginia, he would be proud of us with Confederate flags and American flags. And we were there to educate and inspire, because it was the first day that the first national flag was made. And we were a Confederacy prior to even being called a Constitutional Republic. And we were booed, we were shamed by both sides. People walking by, obviously giving us rude gestures, you know. And yet we had some people that came up to us and talked to us, and we tried to educate as best we could. But, you know, everywhere I look, it's just in order for us to inspire the right way and get other people on board with restoring the republic, we're going to need a spark. And I'm asking anybody else if they have any other ideas for that spark. I yield my time.
Well, thank you for that perspective, sir, and that history lesson. That was informative.
Much obliged.
Yes, sir. Anybody else have a question or want to make a comment? Floor is open. Well, David, you want to wrap it up for now? Hello.
Winter Border?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Hi. This is Interim Governor Alyssa Fornerato-Regney from New Jersey Free State.
Sure. Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to thank my New Jersey Free State colleagues who are speaking today. I'm really proud to be from New Jersey. But I also want to mention that you know, I have been pretty outspoken in leadership meetings. The need for us to make sure that we are standing up for God, because He led us here. He led us to America. He led our founding fathers to write that Constitution that's based on Christian principles. I do think, I personally feel, I know that there's a lot of different thoughts in the chats, but I personally feel that I do think that we should be, for the leadership, electors, that's different. For someone who's an elector, the thousands and millions of people who are electors, you know, you can be whoever you want to be. Believe in whatever you want to believe. But I do believe, I personally feel strongly that that as a leader in the Republic for the United States of America, which was founded by our Father, God, who is the Almighty Creator, I do personally feel that we should have a statement of faith for our leadership members. That's just me personally. I think that if we turn our backs on God now, after all of what our country has been through for many generations, I don't think that God would have favor on us. That's just my personal opinion. But that's what that's how I feel. I yield.
Thank you for that insight. I think that'd be a very good idea. We should never turn our backs on God, that's for sure.
Nope. This is Karen Reeves.
Yes, go ahead, Karen.
A second. I agree. I think anyone sitting in a seat should take and not sign something watered down, not state something watered down. If you're solely for the Lord, then you should have no problem speaking that. If you solely belong to Him, if you truly understand the weight and the ownership of following Yeshua, Jesus, whatever you want to, you know, name you have used for Him, because there's multiple different names. It got pointed out to me that the Hebrewic names are not exactly what's in my Strong's. I mean, there's even a Greek name for him that I can't pronounce. But the thing is if you're following the Christ, if you're following the Messiah, then you should be willing to say out of your mouth. I mean, to be born again, you have to speak it from your mouth. Believe it in your heart that He rose again for you, that He came to this world, that the Father sent Him so that you can be saved. So why would you not have the ability, if you really belong to Him, why would it bother you at all to be asked to speak it, that Jesus the Christ, Yeshua Mashiach, came in the flesh, died and was risen again and ascended for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we can be united with the Father. And that He is returning to come again in glory, you know, to glorify His, you know, through His saints, to be glorified through His saints. Why would that be a problem if you truly believe? That's where I don't get it. Why would anybody argue against that if they really believe? I mean, we got in this boat because we got people in leadership, and leadership took us all away, took this nation away from what the original leadership did. I'm talking about our founding fathers. If we can go into our constitutions and wipe out slavery, then we should be able to go into our constitutions and put in God. I mean, like, really put in God, not this higher power thing or this, oh, the Creator thing, but like really name Him. Really state, I believe in Jesus the Christ. I believe in Yeshua Mashiach. I believe He came in the flesh. I believe He will return. And when he comes back, he's going to be glorified in his saints. Why is that so hard? That's my question to all the people listening to this call that are dubbed as justices. And for those that are dubbed as something else, whether you're a clerk or whatever you are, maybe you just, you know, come into being a volunteer and haven't taken up a slot. But if you're joining in on Constitution, you know, chats, and you're joining in on helping to pave the way to make this right, and we're going to wipe out slavery, and we're going to wipe out the things that don't make sense, then we better put in the one thing that does. And if you aren't willing to stand up for that, I question just how much you really believe and where you really stand. And I yield.
Thank you for that. I can mention that being on a vetting call, we do our best to screen people. We actually ask them a question of their walk with Jesus, you know, tell us when you first got saved, or questions of that nature. And it does also help that if governors that go to appoint people like that would actually screen them a little bit as well. I think I don't think everybody does that, but if everybody did a little bit, I think probably that would help out a great deal. And I also think a statement of faith is also well, too.
I honestly think, can you hear me still?
Yes.
Okay. I honestly think that the vetting needs to tighten up. You know, if you get asked if you believe, pardon?
I said it's being worked on right now.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
We are taking steps to change some of the vetting questions and stuff like that. So it is being worked on. The problem is known.
Yeah, because in the past, I mean, just being asked if you believe in Jesus, well, the demons believe in Jesus, and they'll say yes. That's not a deep enough question. You know, I think every single person, if we really want to clean this place out and really make sure that the right people are in, because I have some serious questions about some different ones, because their faith doesn't seem to come through with their words. So I really think that we should ask everyone that's standing in a seat, justice, clerk, whatever it is, to make that statement and to put their autograph to it. Because if you're not willing to do that, then, you know, I know that there's some people that are still very much a sympathizer for Masons and things of that nature. So if you're not willing to do that, then there's a problem. If you're not willing to denounce any associations in the past in writing and in verbal, you know, and you're not, if you might have said, yeah, I'll denounce it, but they lie. I mean, people lie. You put it through your mouth and you put it on your, and you put your signature to it, you put your autograph to it. That's another story. If they're not willing to do that, then they're not really standing. And that includes everybody in the past. Or you're not going to clean this up. Because there are infiltrators in positions. I yield.
Thank you for that insight. Justice, are you on the phone yet? If you are, you're muted. Must have lost him here or something. All right.